Hello everyone and welcome to an Airline Pilot podcast from Flight Level 320. This will be a podcast about aviation and flight simulation hosted by myself, a real-world airline pilot and flight simulator YouTuber. I'll be joined by other airline pilots and experienced flight simmers as we discuss all things aviation and flight sim, answer questions from the community and chat about what it's like to take some of these incredible machines into the sky. Welcome to From Flight Level 320. So first things first on the podcast, who am I? Well, I'm 320 Sim Pilot, a real-world airline pilot, I'm a flight simmer and a YouTuber. I've been flying commercially for over 10 years, absolutely loved aviation since I was a small child. I've flight simmed since I could find a computer that I could run any simulator on, which started with Flight Simulator 98. I started a YouTube channel during the pandemic to help Airbus simmers get a bit of context on their real-world use on the real-world use of the Airbus aircraft. That channel, by some amazing amount of luck and good fortune with the community that has joined me with it, has now grown to over 70,000 subscribers, and I'm proud to say over 1.5 million hours of watch time from the various tutorials and guides that I've put up on the channel, as well as plenty of live streams that we now do. These days on the channel, you'll often see different streams, which we show different airliners. We fly around different parts of the world, and we also look at different sorts of aircraft as well as the airliners. But always plenty of our beloved A320 family of aircraft as we do that along the way. There is also a very active and friendly Discord, the 320 SimPilot Discord, with thousands of simmers where we come together to talk about flight simulation and aviation. Why am I doing a podcast now is another good question. I hugely enjoy the interaction with the audience during my live streams. It's a particular treat and a part of the live streams I enjoy a lot. Podcasting is an exciting way for me to try out answering those questions in a bit more of a focused manner, where I have a bit of time to focus specifically on the questions that come to me from the audience and maybe go a bit deeper into some topics that during a stream I may not have the time or capacity to do while we're also flying an aircraft, of course. I can also bring in other guests, other real-world pilots and airline pilots to discuss things, as well as members of the community, perhaps, and other flight simmers, to get a bit more of a rounded view and a few different opinions and insight and a more wide variety of experience on these topics. This will also help people listen to the answers to these questions and perhaps in a bit more of a relaxed manner, or certainly whilst you're cooking, traveling, or anything else you happen to be doing that you can't really do while watching a YouTube video. I did ask the audience or the community about whether they would like to see a podcast, and it was a very resounding yes, so here we are as we get started on this journey, and I am very excited about it. It's something I've wanted to do for a long while. Now, as this podcast is, of course, in its very early days, there will be different iterations and evolutions to the style and format of the podcast. I want it to be something that you enjoy listening to and something that works for the community, so I'll be taking in feedback and listening to the audience as we go through. For this first pilot episode, as we'll call it, of the show, we're going to introduce someone new to you, Barney, who is an experienced airline captain, a VATSIM controller, as well as avid flight simmer. I think they'll make an absolutely excellent guest on the podcast. So I've gone through a bit of an interview with Barney where we'll discuss real world aviation as well as his flight simulation journey into the various roles that he has now taken up in those respective fields. This could be a typical format for when we have a new guest on the show, and then going forward, we'll have different shows where we answer questions from the community with either guests that you already know, as well as, of course, always myself being there. 320 SimPilot will always be hosting this show. Now, as I said, this format will change as we go through and we'll adapt to what works best for you as a community. But I think you should really enjoy this episode. Barney provides lots and lots of very experienced viewpoints on flight simulation and real-world aviation, and we'll discuss both throughout the upcoming episode. If you do enjoy this podcast, please, of course, spread the word and subscribe to the podcast wherever you are listening. And, of course, do please head over to my YouTube channel, 320 SimPilot, where there's plenty of guides, tutorials and hundreds of hours of content all to do with flight simulation and different airliners, and indeed aircraft. Now, as I start all my YouTube videos with a disclaimer, I thought it would be appropriate, of course, to have one at the start of the podcast. Please do remember that all things discussed here are the views of the speaker only. They do not reflect the views of our employers. We do not represent our employers on this podcast. This is entirely us as individuals. Nothing discussed on the podcast should be taken as advice or instruction. And as ever, this is not for any real-world use. It's just to give you some extra context on your home simulations. Okay, great. So now let's get headed straight into the interview or discussion that I have with Barney, and I hope you enjoy it. So welcome to the show to Barney, who is an Airbus captain of many years' experience, a VAT sim controller, and an absolutely avid flight simmer. So a real treat to have him join us on the show today. So hello to you, Barney.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, very welcome. Thank you for coming along and taking some time out of your day to chat with us today on this very first, as you suggested earlier, pilot episode of the 320 Sim Pilot podcast.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if I've told you the name. It was voted for by the audience on a stream a little while back. It's going to be the Flight Level 320 podcast.
Fantastic.
Flight Level 320, something like that. Yeah. So that's where
we're aiming. Why 320? I'm interested.
Well, 320.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, it's all
bit slow. Yeah, there you go,
And it's the audience is further ahead than I am because they came up with that one.
That's brilliant. Prompted. That's a good name.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Barney, as I gave you a little bit of an intro there, but would you fancy giving us a little bit of a rough background of yourself?
Yeah, so I've been flying a while since I was quite young. And I've been on the Airbus, flying the Airbus for about 10 years now. And been a captain for about four of those. It's been absolutely fantastic. I still get to fly outside of commercial flying, which is brilliant. So I get to do a mixture of things, including flying like single engine aircraft, multi-engine aircraft, and of course the A320, which I love. Yeah, so I'm also I enjoy VAT sim, and I do a lot of flying on flight sim. So I'm kind of a massive AV geek, really. So that's about it. That's why I'm here, I think.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Well, thanks for coming on. You've got a whole wealth of experience, of course, in all of those fields, which is really great. And you are also a VAT sim controller.
Yes, yes, I am. And I'm in the process of doing some further training, which is great to allow me to continue up the ranks of VAT sim.
It's a hard process, isn't it, that?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, though, how realistic they actually make it, or how is they want it to be. It's just I've learned so much just doing the training that I after even flying in the real world for 10-11 years, I didn't know. It's really cool.
That's great. And yeah, every time we go on the VATSIM on the channel, we get all these moments, especially as it gets busy, of those sudden sort of, you get that feel that you do, or I get, about flying aircraft in the real world, and you suddenly get that same feeling as the pressure bounce up a little bit and the traffic builds up and hold start. Yeah. It's great. Yeah, very good.
It's absolutely awesome.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah. So let's talk about very briefly what got you into aviation. How did you end up where you are today?
So, do you know what? I've always been really interested in aviation and airports and that sort of thing. I find everything to do with it interesting and fascinating. And I was actually really scared of flying. I found it really terrifying. Like, I loved it, but I was terrified whenever we went on a plane. And there was one holiday particularly where I just really uncomfortable. But anyway, I managed to, when we got landed, and after that, I was just obsessed with it. I was like, what were they doing? How does it work? And I just spent the whole trip trying to look and research into how planes fly and trying to find a place to learn to fly. And I did a trial lesson and just got the bug, as I'm sure you did as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I didn't actually know this about Barney until we were just sort of running through some notes to try out this podcast. But yeah, it's interesting. So that fear of flying pushed you to find out more about it, and then you sort of fell in love with it from there.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible, really.
It's just interesting to me because we regularly on the channel get viewers and people in the chat who are scared of flying, really, really quite scared. And they've come to the channel for the exact same reason, to figure out or to find out more about what goes on behind that locked door, which, of course, wasn't as mysterious a little while ago, but it now is very much an unknown thing. So the flight sim has certainly opened that up a bit.
It is a shame about the door policy now, but I get it. It's just it's very hard to share such an amazing career with people when there's a bulletproof door between us.
Yeah,
Yeah, it definitely makes it a bit more difficult. But yeah, so fantastic. Well, what an interesting start to your love of aviation. Because for me, it was very much like you say, you expect it to be similar. Because a lot of pilots, and I'm sure a lot of viewers know this, a lot of pilots are sort of naturally in this mindset from quite early on. They become obsessed with flying, and I always say you sort of have to be obsessed with it at some point to really get through it because of the amount of time and the length of the course and in some cases the financial sacrifice you have to make to get through that training. Yeah, it's great that different things I think kick off that inspiration right at the start.
Exactly, yeah.
Because for me it was just natural. I don't know, I just going on holiday was enough, and then that just pulled me into it.
It's fantastic, isn't it? But you're so right about the fact that, like, with the training, like I love flying, absolutely love it, but I'm awful academically. So the ground school was the worst thing for me. I absolutely hated it. Not to the point where I didn't ever want to not do it, not become a pilot, but it really tested my passion. So
You've got to be really into it at that point, because
yeah,
it's a
it's
lot to
hard
get through.
work. Exactly, yeah, it's worth it.
So you mentioned those that first trial flight you went on. So what was the first airplane you flew?
It was a PA-28, absolutely awesome thing. Still flying today, which is quite funny. But
Yeah, they go on
I'll
forever,
never
don't they?
forget the reg, as you mentioned earlier, that
Yeah.
you always remember the first aircraft flight. It's like the first one that I did my base training on as well. I remember that one
Yeah.
as
Oh, really?
well. So.
Oh no. So for those of you listening, base training is when you first fly a commercial airliner, you have to go and do some actual takeoffs and landings in the circuit with it. And that's a great moment when you're trying to become an airline pilot. It's a big deal because of course that's when you get to put your hands on the real airplane and fly it around the skies. But I actually don't remember the registration of my base training aircraft, which I feel a bit bad about now.
Oh yeah.
You do remember yours?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still working. Is that still there? Still flying around,
Excellent.
which is good. Yeah, it's I do I went we went and fl went up to an airfield up north and did a load of circuits. It was great fun. Did you enjoy your base training?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. I remember the base training. It's definitely ingrained. And I'm actually lucky enough I got to do it twice. So I've done
Did
it on
you?
I've done it on
Why is that?
both.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it depends on the way you do your training, the way your type rating comes up. So but yeah,
Wow,
I've managed
that's
to do it
cool.
twice, so I'm
You
quite lucky in
lucky
that
thing.
sense because a lot of will only do it once. Yeah, great. So yeah, PA-28, and what do you think of the PA-28? Did you like it?
Oh, it's a great aircraft. It's such a workhorse.
Yeah.
Stable. It's nice to fly. I love it. I still have an affinity for it,
Yeah.
even to this day.
Yeah. Can't get out both sides, but you can, it is at least stable.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But it is a nice aircraft.
Yeah,
I enjoy it.
and I'm sure a lot of people listening, if you've gone for your first flight or trial flight, or you get interested in aviation, you'll very likely come across a PA-28 of some variety. They are
Absolutely.
everywhere, aren't they? They're just
What did you
ubiquitous at
learn
flight school.
flying? What did you do your trial lesson in?
My trial lesson. So I got a couple of flights when I was very young, that where it weren't lessons, but one my first flight in a general aviation airplane when I was basically a child was a PA-28. But my first trial lesson was in a PA-38, which I know you do know.
Nice.
But
The
yes,
Tomahawk, yeah.
the Tomahawk, yeah, which is
Never
quite.
flown one of those.
You've
What's it
never flown
like?
it?
No, never flown Tomahawk. No.
Unusual. I must have found one of the few airplanes you've never had the chance to fly around in.
No.
Because Barney is very, very involved in general aviation, so often flies a lot of these. But yeah,
Yeah.
the Tomahawk is a nice machine. I really like it. It has a door on both sides, so that already puts it in a sort of a premium level
You
above
like
the
it, yeah.
A28. It's only two seats, so it's very small. But yeah, there we go.
It's like the Piper equivalent of the Cessna 152, which is also only
It
two seats and
exactly, yeah.
door either side as well. There you
Yeah,
go.
that's it. The Cessnas, yeah, they're lovely. Yeah. Okay, so my next question then is, why did you get into flight simulation in all that story? We know how you got into to aviation in general, but what got you into flight simulation?
Do you know what? I don't know. It's a
No.
really hard one. I have a feeling. It was like my uncle that he used to do a lot of gliding, and he was a helicopter pilot in the RAF and all
Oh
this. And I
wow.
have a feeling it was something to do with that. And I just, it's kind of like a natural step, isn't it? When you're obsessed with aviation, you sort of find flight simulator. And we were sort of talking about it earlier, weren't we, about the fact that, what was it, first FS98 and then FS2002?
Yeah, that's where I started. 98. I did 98, 2002. There was a 2000, wasn't there? I think there was a Millennium Edition. And then there was 2004 and then X. But yeah, I skipped 2004.
Did you? See, 2004 will always be in my heart.
Was that where you started then? Was that your first flight simulator?
Yes, I think the first proper one that I remember and had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you remember that you, what did you get out of it when you first loaded it up? What stage of you were you in your aviation career at this point?
Do you know what it was? I remember we used to go up to Edinburgh a lot, and I remember always going on BMI, which is the old, the airline out of Heathrow that doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately. And I just always on that, I was always like little things, like trying to figure out what they were doing or how it was working. Or let me just go visit the flight deck as well, which was amazing. And I think, so when I went into flight sim, I wouldn't say I knew anything at all, but I always tried to do it how I thought they were doing it at the time.
Right, so that was what you were trying to replicate, those flights. So you were taking the real flights and trying to replicate them in the sim.
Exactly. And do you remember like the Wilco A320 and all that?
Yep, yep.
That was like a classic Airbus add-on that was around then. And there was the other one, the Air Simmer. I can't remember if it ever came out, but did you ever hear about Air Simmer?
So I remember hearing about Air Simmer. So I have looked it up, and they still have their website, airsimmer.com, and it says that they've got Air Simmer A320 Basic Edition now available for purchase for Microsoft Flight Simulator 2004.
Really?
And the Basic Edition for Microsoft Flight Simulator X is coming soon. So it's, I don't know what happened to the Flight Simulator X version. I certainly didn't have 2004, so I would never have used this. It's quite amazing that it's still, I think it's still for sale. There's a buy now button. And you can, I don't know how supported it would be at this point. It was out a long time ago, but I remember these photos even.
It's probably not worth the risk of trying to buy it, but
I don't know who's running this now, but it's, funny enough, they have a BMI, livery on their media page. So
do you know what? Yeah, that rings back a lot of memories, that does.
Yeah. And those of you who don't know BMI, so on my channel, we fly a lot of older airlines, but on my streams, but this BMI livery is very nice, has a big red tail. And I don't think we've actually flown that later BMI livery on the channel at all. But it looks very detailed for an Airbus. I've got to say, like, it does look very good. I'm seeing lots of 2D panels, of course, which is not a thing we see these days in land. But it does look very Airbus-y. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's really cool. It was but now we've seen the Phoenix and stuff. It's just incredible what we've got now.
Did you have the Air Simmer? Did you use it?
I have a feeling I did. But I think the computer at the time wasn't as powerful as it needed to be, so it struggled a bit to do it.
Well, yeah, and this was the problem I had, which was I was using FS98 in the mid-2000s, because of course my computer couldn't run anything better, and then I got a slightly better computer where I could run 2002, and then I had to get a whole new computer for FSX, and that barely ran that. I mean, FSX was astonishing to try and run that.
It was impossible, wasn't it? It just hardly worked.
It was amazing, and especially on the recommended specs, which were creative use of minimum specs. It was quite tricky. But there we go.
You're 100% right.
My first add-on was gifted to me by a relative who had used it years ago. It's for Flight Simulator 98, and it was a whole series of military aircraft, particularly RAF. So it had things like the Vulcan, the Harrier, the Hawk, Red Arrows Hawk, Tornado. Wow. All for Flight Simulator 98, if you can believe it. Yeah.
Do you know, I never tried FS98.
That's where I started. All 2D panels. There were some virtual cockpits. I think it was the first one to have virtual cockpits. But they, for example, the 737 didn't have one, and that was my favorite because, of course, it was the biggest one included. But yeah,
do you know what would be funny is to try and go back, try and reset up these old flight simulators.
Well, you can, of course, get hold of them in the 40th anniversary edition of Microsoft Flight Simulator. Have you seen that? You can get
what do you mean?
As an Easter egg, they're playable through the screens in one of the aircraft in Flight Simulator 2020.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Amazing.
It is quite amazing.
How do you do that?
Let me just bring that up. So you flick the ELT switch, which brings up the games on the cockpit Garmin screen. Yeah, this came out with a 40th anniversary edition. I'm not sure if it works. I think it's only one aircraft. So Diamond
D
62. Yeah.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah, so give that a go, and you'll be able to then see the which version does it give you. I think it doesn't give you 98. Or maybe you can choose several. Yeah. First four games in the series. Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
So a bit of fun.
And if you look how advanced it is now with Microsoft Flight Simulator, it's just incredible.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Yeah, the extreme difference and contrast between the two. Yeah, it's quite something. Okay, Bernie, and then what about your controls? So I get asked a lot on stream what hardware I'm using. And a lot of people want to know how I replicate the real world feel in the sim. So how have you gone about that? What do you find yourself gravitating towards mostly?
Wow. Well, a lot of tweaking, first of all, in the sim itself. But I currently use the Thrustmaster Warthog.
The Warthog,
which I think it's called the Warthog. Yeah, the metal one.
With the green lights.
That's it, yeah. And it is absolutely fantastic. I find the flying feeling is just brilliant. I love it. So I use that for my throttle and side stick. And then for my rudder pedals, as weird as this is, I've been using the same rudder pedals I've been using since I first got into Flight Sim.
Okay.
So I've had these rudder pedals, which are the Satech Pro, Yeah, I've had them for like 15, 16 years or whatever
really?
Long it is. And yeah, they're still going strong. So
that's a good testament to their design then, isn't it?
The
original set, no changes, no fixes.
Honestly, nothing. No, it's quite amazing, really. I do want to try and get the Thrustmaster Pendula ones.
Yep.
That would probably be my next buy. But how about you? What have you got?
So I've got several different setups, but I mainly end up using the Thrustmaster Airbus First Officer's or Captain's Pack. I guess it would be the Captain's Pack now because I've got the Thrustmaster Airbus throttle quadrant, the speed brakes and flaps, and then the joystick. I also have the Thrustmaster Warthog, which, if those of you listening don't know what it is, it's a military style joystick. So it's big, it's heavy, it's really heavy actually.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of metal, so it feels great in your hands. It's also weighted very nicely. It's not damped particularly, so as you let go of the joystick, it does sort of spring back, but it's got enough weight that it doesn't do it in any sort of it's not too quick. I think it's really nice. I agree with Barney on that, but I don't actually use it except for DCS because I haven't managed to set up my controls on all those different buttons for all the different aircraft. And I find the Thrustmaster TCA, that's it, TCA, has so many useful buttons all in the same sort of area, whereas of course the Thrustmaster is so specific, the Warthog, sorry, is so specific. Being a HOTAS is a proper military sort of HOTAS where you're designed never to move your fingers off it. So it's a different style. But I do have the exact same pedals because I think pedals often get neglected the most. It's the one I could definitely live without pedals, but I really like having them when I'm trying to land in a crosswind on the stream.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about how far Flight Simulator's come in the time that we've been using it. And obviously there's been lots of iterations of Flight Simulator as well as X-Plane. I must, of course, mention X-Plane as that's where my channel started on X-Plane 11. But even so, there's been variations in all of them, and X-Plane has gone through, obviously, now we're on 12th version of that. But how do you find Flight Simulator compared to your real-world flying in the terms of, do you think it helps you? Do you find it useful? Do you practice on it?
I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think the ability to be able to jump in a variety of different styles of aircraft and just have fun with it and learn new things is incredible. I'm learning things every time I log on. And I just think it's brilliant from that. From a training perspective, if you're doing your instrument rating, for example, you couldn't do anything better than playing around in the sim. Even with VATSIM as well, with the real air traffic, it just adds such an amazing thing to your flight training. And with the A320 itself, like the Phoenix is such an incredible platform that I can't fault it. There's a few quirks, but it generally is so impressive. I think it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I know you fly a fair bit on the channel, but it's just an unbelievable model, really.
Yeah. So, yeah, I totally agree with the I definitely think the instrument rating bit you said there is really important. Like that's where I've gotten my a lot of value out of Flight Simulator has been being able to practice the scan and the trimming, and even less than the trimming, I suppose, just the scan, just keeping your eyes moving, trying to soak in your airspeed, your pitch, your heading, your pitch, your altimeter, exactly. Your pitch, your VSI, your pitch, and being able to drive yourself back in. That is quite something, isn't it? But as you say, the Phoenix and you know, of course, the fly-by-wire A321X. I don't know, have you used that recently?
I haven't recently, but I've read quite a bit about it. It does seem incredible what they're doing.
It is. It's again. It's not complete. And I say this a lot on my streams. It's not complete, but it's just come so far, and the amount of features it has, I've never seen. I have seen other freeway like it, but not of the Airbus. You know, it is. It's really good. But of course, things like the Zeebo 737 are also absolutely brilliant. But
which is amazing that Zeebo is free. It still blows me away.
Yeah, it is. And same fantastic. For AC-Gen X, the work these people put into these, it's just, again, it just shows that passion and enthusiasm people have specifically for aviation. They're willing to put their time into it like this.
I thought the fly-by-wire 380 video looked absolutely incredible.
Yes, absolutely. So we're recording this when that there was a recent interview out a video, some of the first footage of the fly-by-wire A380X, and it looks amazing, doesn't it? How exciting. Have you ever used a we haven't had many A380s even payware, have we, over the years?
I don't think there's ever been one, has there, apart from the really awful renditions?
I think was there a Wilco one? There may have been a Wilco one.
I don't know.
You used to get those big packets, didn't you, of several aircraft all at once? Like the whole long-haul Airbus or whatever.
That's it, yeah. I personally haven't...
Yeah, there was a Wilco
A380. Ever seen one.
Yeah, so we've not seen a high-quality 380 for a long time, certainly, and I've never used one. So, yeah, it'd be very exciting to see that one arrive.
Really exciting.
A phrase that I often talk about on the channel is study level. We hear it a lot. Is this going to be study level? Do you think this add-on is study level? What do you think study level means? And do you think it's achievable in Flight Simulator to be something that is study level?
Yeah, I do. Study levels changed so much over the last few years. That's what I found. Study level back in FS 2004 is completely different to where we'd see study level now. But I would say study level in the flight sim world for me is something like the Phoenix. But yeah. I think if you're comparing it, is it study level for the ability to be able to use it for professional training? I think it needs to be absolutely perfect for that. And there's also a lot of systems and stuff that can be integrated into it, which they're doing. But I'd say... in terms of flight sim, study level, I say the standard now is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And even down to like the light aircraft, like the Just Flight PA-28s and stuff like that, they I would class them as study level, the ability to be able to prepare for your flight training, like PPL skills tests and stuff, is just incredible.
Yes. And of course, those have the advantage of being, I suppose, simpler aircraft in some ways, although there's lots to capture the essence of a general aviation aircraft is obviously still a remarkable amount of work. But the scenery available to you in Microsoft Flight Simulator is so good for German aviation, VFR flying in particular, isn't it? It's so amazing that you can do your qualifying cross country with a realistic representation of what you might see out the window. I still can't get over the scenery. I really can't.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely incredible. And the weather phenomena as well, like the fact that you can actually experience what wind shear is like, or what a gusting wind would do, or an inversion, which is all stuff that is you've never been able to show someone who's potentially learning to fly or experience it without seeing it in real life. And I think that's incredible.
Yeah, I totally agree. I find the something I really like is with the weather is the rainfall and then the sort of mist in valleys in particular, as you go over the Alps and in the valley over Milan. Really amazing when you can see that in Microsoft Flight Simulator, because it just looks perfect. Like, I don't know how they've done it. It looks so spot on. No sort of clipping. It doesn't go in and out or of the mountains or anything like this. It all just looks just right. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Like, they've really nailed it.
And so, Bunny, talking about flight sims and how far they've come as well, what do you think? What are you looking forward to in the future of flight simulation? What do you think's missing or something you'd like to see done?
What would I like to see done? Oh, wow. That's such
a
good question
to throw at you there.
Do you know what? For me, I just think the variety is key.
Okay.
I think we need the more variety of aircraft there are out there, the more variety of like airfields and airports you can visit, I think it's just what we need. Yeah. I really do. I think things like the 380 being number flyby-wise is fantastic. I wish there'd be a 340. Yep. Yeah, I just think variety.
But if you could bring yourself to try
X Plane, isn't it?
You could have a 340.
Yeah, I know. I do like X Plane. I think the thing is, even logging onto P3D now, I feel a bit lost by the graphics.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your eyes have been spoiled.
Exactly. Yeah. And Microsoft Flight Simulator is just it's absolutely amazing. But you say that, it's pretty incredible that like right now I'm just on Microsoft Flight Simulator just whilst we're chatting.
Yeah.
And I'm in a boat just driving around the North Sea, which I'd never thought I'd see in Flight Simulator, but this is something different.
Well, I remember, I'm pretty sure back in FSX days, I used to get freeware vehicles of all sorts. I'm sure you could get boats and things and drive boats around back then.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, it's been modding flight simulator has been a huge thing for a long time. I mean, it just becomes about finding the most sort of interesting vehicle you can put into it.
But, exactly.
I totally agree.
Do you know
what
I really enjoy and I've just bought and I'm trying to learn it is the helicopters. I really enjoyed trying to figure out how to fly helicopters. I've never flown a helicopter. So I bought the Cowan Sim, sorry if I say that wrong, 500E and the 206. And
right,
they're
I've not
awesome
tried those.
Fun to fly around. They're
really?
Absolutely amazing, yeah.
Well, it's a bit of a sore topic on my channel. I've been asked for months, and maybe even years at this point, by some of my community to try out sims on the channel. Helicopter sims on the channel, and I've managed.
Got to do it.
I did try once, but it was a very small part. It was a bit of a cop out, really. I need to do it properly. So that's interesting. So I'll take a look at those as well. It's definitely on the cards. So yeah, no, absolutely, I agree. The variety is a real treat. So hopefully we'll see more of that as the flight simulator sort of develops along.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that should show you how keen Barney is with flight simulation. That not only does he fly for his living, but he's also, whilst doing a podcast about flight simulation, flight simming at the exact same moment. So there you go. If anyone needed proof of enthusiasm. So speaking of that, moving on to your real world flying then, what's your favorite aircraft in the real world?
Oh, the Twin Star, the DA-42.
That's it. That's your top choice.
If I obviously have different aircraft for different things, but
yep.
If I need to go somewhere or just want to go do a few circuits, DA-42, it's just such a fantastic plane to fly. And obviously being a twin and having retractable gear, it makes it, it's just brilliant. Honestly, yeah. I couldn't fault it.
Right. Well, I didn't expect that answer, I must admit, but that's...
What were you thinking I was going to say, though?
I didn't know what you were going to say, but the DA-42, wasn't at the top of my list, but sure... Yeah, we'll leave Concorde in the hangar then, and you know, the VC-10 and the 747, and we'll take a DA-42.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so a bit of a technical glitch there, but we are back, and Barney had just revealed his all-time favorite aircraft is the Diamond 42, and that has
overruled... To fly in the real world, just to clarify that. Yeah, to fly, yeah.
I can feel
if I could fly anything, it'd be very different. But
the pain of anyone listening, as they were probably thinking, he's going to say Concorde or the 747 or I don't know, a Spitfire.
Yeah,
with a Diamond 42.
Those, they're great planes. If I could fly anything, like any commercial airline, it has to be the Jumbo.
The Jumbo.
I'd love to have given that a go. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's Boeing 747. And which version have you thought that far?
Yeah, I think for me it'd be the 400, because that was the one that I always used to go on holiday.
That'll be the same for me. Yeah, 400. That would be. Yeah. I don't know if that's my favorite airplane, but in terms of the choice between those two, I think it'd be 400 as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's plenty of people out there. I mean, we in X-Plane Land, we have, of course, a very high detailed Felis 747-200, which is that's really fun to fly. You'd really enjoy that, I think, if you gave that one a go.
Nice.
That's using INS, is very similar to sort of Concorde's flight deck in the sense that it's just all steam gauges, but it's obviously not as advanced. What about, so we've done favorite aircraft, what about your favorite destination? It doesn't have to be too specific, and obviously you've been flying for a long time, so you'll have changed routes and so on many times, but yeah, is there anywhere you really, really like going to? And it could be obviously general aviation as well.
In terms of flying, I'd say it's a really good question. Do you know what, I do really enjoy Faro. I've always enjoyed flying to Faro, yeah, because it's good fun for a visual approach.
Right. Yeah.
A visual approach. Yeah. It's not a visual approach that's slightly stressful, but it's just a really nice flight, I think. It's good length and all that. Yeah.
Faro. Can I argue with that? Yeah. We've done Faro on stream before. It's I like going there. It's very nice and very picturesque as you head in.
It's beautiful.
I'm curious.
How about you?
See...
What's your favorite?
I knew you'd ask. I get asked a lot that question. And for me, I've got a few. I really like some of the Greek islands. So Corfu is on a nice day, Corfu is particularly fun, I think. I think that final approach as you come down the side with the hills on your left, and then that sort of the last minute lineup with the runway is something we don't see very much in modern aviation. So I really like that. But then there's also places like, and we've gone there twice on stream, Bilbao, which has got a spectacular final
Bilbao's
approach.
Lovely, yeah.
Yeah, through that valley. It's very nice,
you,
isn't it?
Do you know where it was beautiful? Yeah. Where I think it's beautiful? Lisbon. The Lisbon approach to the northerly.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning at night, during the day. Incredible place to fly into.
You're low over the city, aren't you? And you're just surrounded by it. And you sort of start to get engulfed by it while you're still in the air. Really quite. Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, that one's good.
That's lovely.
Yeah, and speaking of that, then Naples, which I have been to on the channel a few times, where you come in over the sea and then you come offset on the INS approach over the town, and it builds up around you and you've got a volcano on your right, which is not something you have in many places. So
that's a good point.
And this is the treat of flight simulation as well, is of course that I can go and see these and recreate them. And you get a bit of an idea before you go, but even afterwards you can just sort of you can relive the fun of it. And it just, again, the scenery in Flight Simulator 2020 really captures it nicely. On both of those, all of those approaches we've listed, actually, I think it's very good at. Great.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
And what would you say is your favorite part of your job?
Do you know what? The smell of jet fuel.
Really?
When you start an engine. Yeah, do you know what? That's the favorite part. When I was flying yesterday, we started the engines and it was just that waft of as the engine started. I was like, I love this job. Yeah. And you look out, you see all the different aircraft and it's just fantastic.
Yeah, there's a certain...
I couldn't tell you what it is. I generally, genuinely couldn't say. I just love it. Absolutely love it.
Is it perhaps the anticipation of a flight? As you know, there's a lot I find about the process leading up to that starting of the engines and the pushing back, because there's a lot of intent behind it all. We are about to take this aircraft up 6 miles above the planet. We're going to take it to 80 something percent the speed of sound, and we're going to rocket it across for several countries and land it somewhere else in a couple of hours. Like it's no big deal. But if you see all the process happening, like say the smell of the jet fuel and the things moving around and all the other aircraft around and the amount of activity, it does seem like a big deal in a way, to me anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I think that's right. I think it is a bit of like the the adventure and the actual trip you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's every trip is still a big event and an amazing achievement of technology and work by so many individuals. I always think, even though we know it's routine and it's very safe, which is a great thing, but it's still an amazing thing. And I think appreciating it is part of the thing that keeps the job fun. I would agree with you there. That yeah, interesting. But yeah, exactly. Smell of jet fuel. There we go.
There we go. Yeah.
Good answer. Great. What would you say to anyone starting out in aviation? What are your tips for them, if you have any?
Do you know what? My biggest tip is be nice to everyone and treat everyone the way you want to be treated.
Okay.
And that has helped me so much in my career is, I would say, is if that's like I used to be when I was training, where there was some commercial sims at the training school I went to, and I got to know the engineers, the sim engineers there, and we just started chatting, and I'd bring them a coffee or bring them a biscuit, and they'd let me play in the Airbus sims during lunchtime because they were like, they liked me. I was like, and it was just the fact that I was nice to them and I engaged with them, and and that ethos throughout my life has worked.
Right. And excellent.
Yeah, I'd say that. Be nice to everyone. Take the opportunities when they're there, because that's also brilliant. You've got to take the opportunities, because this, what's that saying? You miss 100% of the chances. Was it 100% of the options you don't take?
Yeah, 100% of the chances. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and aviation is all about timing and being in the right place at the right time, and it's fantastic. It's such an incredible career.
Yeah. And I can attest to the fact that Barney is very nice. So that is definitely true, and not just being said. And bringing it back then, what about tips for someone getting into flight simulation, whether or not they're doing it for real world or their own sort of amusement and curiosity?
Tips for getting into flight simulation. Don't feel like you need to go out and spend a load of money on getting the top of the range joysticks, the stuff like that. All of it is pretty good. And I think there isn't a financial barrier as to flight sim as it is to real world flying. So don't feel like you need to go spend a couple hundred quid on a joystick. Just go get yourself a basic joystick. Go down to CEX and the high street, that shop, and just get yourself a joystick and just plug it in, have a play with it. And it will, the flight sim nowadays is so good that it does give you that kick that you need from, that you get from flying in a real aircraft, I find.
I'd just say for people elsewhere in the world, CEX is a sort of secondhand shop that you can take in old computer parts and video games and so on, and then they'll sell it on. So it's a way of getting stuff at a reduced price over new.
Yeah, exactly. It's really good. But in terms of VAT sim, And flight sim in general, is like, if you want to get involved in it, never be afraid to ask for help or ask questions.
Yeah.
Because people in this hobby, they're so passionate and love it so much that they want to help other people and get other people involved in it. So yeah. That's another big thing. Ask questions.
Yeah. I totally agree. It's never get anywhere without. And we've all asked the questions that might be, we think aren't, like, even if sometimes you know a question feels silly or daft or obvious, but you still can't get the answer, just ask it, because you won't be the first person or the last person to ask that question, and it's not a problem. I remember when I first got into flight simulation, and I got totally stuck trying to clear a discontinuity. I could just about load up an FMS. I had the 757, the Captain Sim 757, and I couldn't clear a discontinuity. So I could never make a flight plan tie up to an approach. And I couldn't solve it. So in the end, I had to actually email my virtual airline and ask them, please help me. Like, how do I do this? And it's so obvious now, you know, I can, there's several ways to do it, and it's second nature, but at the time it just wasn't. And it's the exact same thing with the Airbus. I couldn't turn on the engines. So it's these are all things that, I think that's great advice. Just asking those questions, going back to the financial barrier. I think it's really interesting the last few years, how that's changed, because of course, to run FSX, we talked earlier about how I think there was quite a high barrier. The reason I was using FS98 was because I didn't have the money to go and buy a better computer to run a more modern sim. And now, if you have an Xbox, you could, which a lot of people, more people have an Xbox than had a high-end PC, of course, I would imagine. I don't know, actually, if that's true, but...
Yeah, it'd be an interesting statistic, wouldn't it?
It feels more accessible to me. I mean, having a games console versus... Certainly, they're cheaper than a fully-fledged gaming or simming PC. So it's definitely opened, I think, the door a lot more to have it available on Xbox. And what I would have given as a kid to be able to play Flight Simulator on my PlayStation or something like that. I mean, goodness me. That would have just been an absolute game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think that's really opened it up to a lot of people. And thank you for the tips on VATSIM. As I said earlier, Barney is a VATSIM controller, so that's good advice, and that shows you the mindset of controllers on VATSIM, not to be too fearful of them. And everyone has bad days, but if you need to ask the question, and that's something that we'll do in the real world as well. If we are confused by an instruction from air traffic, I will ask. I won't guess or dig a deeper hole, I suppose, is the phrase. Yeah. If you can ask them just
what's
to clarify.
It called? Clarify the doubt.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. Great. So Barney has very kindly sent me a video of what is apparently an Embraer 175 flying the Valley Approach into, where's it into? Douglas Charles Airport?
Dominica.
In Dominica. Okay. So, Barney promises this is an exciting video. And I'm going to put the link in the description for this podcast, if that works. But here it is. I'm impressed already with the amount of movement going on so low to the ground. So it's
incredible.
It's a forward view at the front of an Embraer, and it's looking... that was about a 90-degree turn, wasn't it, in a valley? Now it's through further valley, just above treetops, lots of green trees all around. And now... we're only a few hundred feet above the runway. It's still way offset from the center line, making another right turn. It's interesting to see. I'm assuming this is a sea breeze sort of approach, because you can see clearly there's no terrain on the other side. You could just approach nicely over the water, or is it because you couldn't go around and there's terrain in front of you? Something I'll have to look up.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I was flying around it on Mike's Flight Simulator.
Yeah.
And it actually does do it justice. It's actually pretty good.
Really? And yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, maybe you should fly in there next on stream.
Well, this could be a good one. Yeah, it's really interesting.
They have taken the 320neo in there. I think Avianca did it.
It's a pretty... The runway doesn't look too short, I must say. Although I know this is an Embraer 1... Which Embraer
175.
Is it? 175. That looks... Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm sure you... I feel like a 320 could get in there, but I'll have to look up the runway. Yeah, that's quite something. That is an amazing, amazing approach. So maybe that will be used later on as one of, I do this series. I don't know if you've seen any challenging approach videos, but there that could be one. But I have to study the charts a bit. That does look good fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Okay, great. Well, that brings us to the end of our time with Barney on this edition of the 320 SimPilot podcast, or Flight Level 320, or From Flight Level 320, whatever name we went with in the end. But thank you all so much for listening in. And thank you, of course, to Barney for taking the time to come and chat with us. And as I said earlier, Barney is a very enthusiastic and knowledgeable member of both the real world aviation and flight sim aviation. So a real treat to have Barney with us today. So I hope you've enjoyed having a bit of a chat, Barney.
Yeah, I've absolutely loved it. It's to be honest, I could talk to you for days about flight sim. So that's the problem.
Well, that's great. It's hopefully encouraging that we'll be able to get you back on again in the future and have some more chats, and we can go into some of these topics, because we've covered a lot of big topics here. And I'm famous for talking for 20 minutes plus on any topic about aviation. So no matter how small. So I'm sure we can do some more if you're willing to come back in the future.
Absolutely, I'd love that. Really would.
Awesome, brilliant. Well, thank you again so much, and have a fantastic week, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Thanks, dude. I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, bye. So that's all from this edition of From Flight Level 320, the 320 SimPilot podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. There'll be plenty more to come as we try out those different formats and we start answering some of the big questions coming from you, the community. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Thank you, of course, for supporting this channel. And I look forward to interacting with you, discussing your questions, and speaking with you in podcasts in the future.
That's all for now then. Keep safe and well. Bye-bye.